Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All righty. We full swing in football season, man.
Yes, man. My Spartans got smacked at the baseball park.
He went down, man.
Like 37-6. So I'm like, I haven't took an L like that since Alabama smashed us.
Yeah, they didn't look good at all, Chauncey.
Oh, I know, man. I think it's quarterback trouble. That's all.
Oh, no doubt, man.
Everything else in place. And then Antonio don't show his whole hand, so he trying to manage a game, and the quarterback didn't want to follow suit.
Well, you know, in the Big Ten, you don't have too many games to give away.
No, you
in
don't.
The Big Ten.
Because you got Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan.
Yeah. You know, I think the good thing is they got Ohio State.
Yeah, I forgot
at
about
home.
Them. Yeah,
Michigan, Ohio State is at home, so that's
now Ohio State got to come. And Ohio State got to come to us too.
Yeah,
so we that can help us a lot.
The two biggest games are at Spartan Stadium.
Yep,
but I think they got to really improve their play immensely before them dates show up on the schedule, man. Because this week didn't look good. Yeah. After beating Notre Dame, well, you know, Notre Dame got beat by Duke.
Yeah,
so,
they falling off too.
You know, that preseason poll always gets people hopes up. And when the season starts, man, those teams in the top tier get exposed. And you'll see a whole change in that top 25 in college football.
Yeah, that's why those rankings are like, you don't pay attention to that stuff. Just play
the
game. Just play the game.
No. It's no different in high school either. Yeah. You know, kids, they can read their rankings and, you know, haven't played anybody. You know, the week before, like Reese Puffer went out and beat Shores.
Yes.
In a dogfight. And Muskegon put a running clock on him.
Then they walked in the Heckley Stadium.
And got a rude awakening about what this football thing going to be like this year. So, those kids are looking great, man.
But then you go. But you think about it, like, playing against a program like Muskegon is, like, it's rough, man.
Yes, that's it rough. Is.
You could be like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Then you walk up and now you be like, oh, I got to go back to the drawing board.
Byron Center showed up undefeated.
Yeah.
Put a running clock on them.
So there's no hurt feelings. It's just work hard, keep on working hard. Y'all doing a good job. But it's just like it's a different bar set down at Heckley Stadium.
Yes, it is.
And
yes,
then plus being an alumni from a different school from Muskegon Heights and then being in the midst around them kids, man, it's a different breed of kid, man.
Yeah.
When it comes to that football, them kids, they inhaling pigskin.
Yes, it is, man. I mean, you know, growing up, it was like that. That's something you dreamed about was coming through that tunnel. On Friday night at Heckley Stadium. And you wanted to be on the field. You just didn't want to be on the team.
I watch all the games. You see me? I watch all the games from the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I can't watch. Sit down.
Okay.
I'm going to watch all these games from the end zone, standing up the whole time.
You can't relax, man.
Yeah, I like what I've been seeing.
And, I expect this team to go deep into the playoffs, Chauncey. I really do.
They got everything.
Yeah, because if you can stop one person, there's another person that.
Especially at the quarterback.
Oh, the quarterback situation is just unreal.
With Mississippi and
Khalil, KP,
you pick your poison.
Pick it.
You want to jam the little man in there, throw the big boy in there, and put the little man in the slot. What you gonna do now?
And got some receivers. You go get it.
Or put him in motion. Or put the little man in motion. And what you gonna do?
You can't catch him, man. Once he turned that corner, Jack, it's over.
Then the big fella going on outside. So,
Yep.
So that's just looking back. It's great. Then I got a chance to go to D.C., man, to see that the National Mall, the new museum, the White House. That
great.
That was big. That was fun. I had a ball. Got back to work the other day. I didn't go to sleep. Stayed up 24 hours. Went to work. My wife was like, you want to work? I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm off a spiritual high or something.
Young folks can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're young enough. You can get away with it.
Yep. But it caught me in the end, so I ended up sleeping good this morning. And then that was great and just building and trying to just keep on working on our community and doing what's right. Just appreciate the people that helped out, PA putting that together, and Big Rob and asking me to participate and bring some kids. So
great experience there.
Yeah, it's good to build character in people. So when somebody asks you to bring somebody, you got a list of people that you can hit up where parents trust you. Because that's like three or four states you taking somebody else's kid, and to have that trust is
– Yeah.
That's why I say history worth more than money.
Yeah, and I would imagine that you know, after seeing this mall that museum, that is something that parents should really want their kids to go see.
Oh yeah, you can go shopping. You can buy memorabilia, souvenirs. There's several things you can do. You know, it's just you look at it and you say, well, it's great. You know, just thinking about everybody that participated and what you see. I like the diversity down there. I lived in Boston before and just traveling on that transit and be on that subway and just being seeing the environment of people, how they interact, all the academias and all the universities that down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Cultural. And the competition. It's heavy competition academically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you're getting the best of the best from around the world.
The world.
Not just the United States. You know, I was impressed. They have a museum in Cincinnati. And one year, my wife and I was on the way back, and we stopped. And I said, you know, my kids got to see this. So I went and got them, and we made a special trip, went back to Cincinnati to see the Black Museum down there, which I had gotten there for the grand opening for that one, and Oprah was there, so she was at this one too. So I see now that I got to make another trip to D.C. So my kids are grown, but still, we like to take these cultural trips together, and we will be checking that out. Well, great, Chauncey.
Yeah, I know Oprah, I saw the ceremony. Oprah spent $21 million. She's one of the, she's the highest private donor.
She got it.
They got the Oprah Theater.
The Oprah Theater.
So, like, you know, she wants to control what you watch.
Okay.
Oprah Theater. So, like, when you walk in to see the movies or whatever they're going to show on the big screen in the museum, it says Oprah's Theater.
Okay. So, well, see, when you got money, man, you can call shots. Yeah. You can do things like that.
Giving.
Giving.
Giving back. Yeah, so what we got on our book today? We got what? I know we
Well, you know, we've had a lot of topics we talked about over the last few months. And we kind of discussed about getting back to the basics.
Oh, yeah.
Of trying to get on track with your finances.
Budgeting 101.
That's the key. That's the start. You can't start this journey without some tools of navigation, some tools, some maps of where you need to go. And budgeting is the first step in that process, Chauncey.
Yes, it is.
You know, debt repair, credit repair, financial planning. You really got to know where you're at before you know where you can go.
Checking your credit report all the time, yep. Looking at things. I've been getting messages this week from people. I know one of my clients sent me a message and said their credit score dropped. And I was like, they and I went our credit restoration programs. And I was like, what's wrong? They like, my student loan report. I'm like, what is it reporting? I was like, you paying on it? They was like, no.
Oh.
I was like, what you doing? I said, I got it in a forbearance. And I got it. I said, well, you know they just passed a bill where they report that now. If you're in forbearance or deferment, if it's not an in-school deferment, where you're not in school and you just deferring it or forbearance, they dropping your credit score. So they were shocked. They was like, oh, I've been doing that for years. I was like, yeah, that's the problem.
Well, the rules have changed.
Yeah, they want you to pay. They want you to pay some to knock that number down. They're not going to let you carry that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's probably created an issue. So that's why they changed the rules, changed the law.
So they're not making no money. It's like, well, we giving you these deferments, and you only can do so many of them, and you're not paying. Well, we're going to penalize your credit score for that. So that's what's going on right now. So I just want to share that with the audience. Like, it's time for you to enter a payment plan, get that out the way. But that also just focuses into what we're talking about now, just a budget, laying a plan out. So
yeah, they want to do better, right?
Yes.
You say, I want to do better, but you have to start the process of doing better. You have to convince yourself, if you want to improve your financial situation, you must get involved in budgeting and understanding what's coming in and what's going out. It's that simple, okay? And one of the first things you got to do is you got to save your receipts.
I do that all the time.
Your statements. Any bill that comes in the mail that requires you to spend money, you got to save those.
Okay.
You know, you don't pay them and then throw them in the trash. No. Yeah. You save all these bills and, you know, do it for a month, preferably for 3 months.
Yes.
But if you're having a tough time getting started, then just start with that month, okay, and save every receipt and statement that you have. And then you have to sort them, okay? You have to put a category in. And, you know, you got to do what's comfortable.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You have to do what's comfortable. You know, there's various categories. It can be food, clothing, transportation, housing, savings, charity. Those are the basic categories you can start with. And every time you spend money, it's probably going into one of those buckets. In order for you to find out where your money is going, that's what you need to do. So if you're swiping, you should get a statement for your debit card, right?
Yeah, you get a bank statement. I get one. That's what I do. Like, whenever I do anything, like business travel, like we went to D.C., I made sure I had a certain portion set aside, had some money in my pocket, so if I needed to get anything for any vendors. But then I also thought, okay, if I'm gonna pay for this, I'm buying it with the my card.
Right.
So then when I check my statement, I go through with a highlighter. I highlight everything. Then I just store it. Or I scan it and save it as a file. Okay. That worked in my benefit some years ago when I was trying to get something. I had all these files scanned. And it was like, how do you do that? I was like, well, I just scanned everything because I do long form of my taxes.
Right.
So I'm like, you're not, I'm showing up and showing out.
Itemized. You got to be itemized. I'm long form. Long form.
Yep, I'm itemized. Everything's itemized. I've been doing it since 99. I have my account. And it works in my benefit with the nonprofit work I do and with my teaching job and my personal business and coaching. So it's like all that shows up. And I find myself that my whole lifestyle has become deductible.
Okay, that's right.
Everything I do, like the truck I drive in, trips I go on, it's some related to some type of either ministry, coaching, or just entrepreneurship in the community where it's nonprofit work, that the long form is necessary. So like if you work in any sphere that you have a business or you are doing something to better your community and you have another entity that you have like an LLC or nonprofit, it's always good to long form because you can look at your lifestyle on paper.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come to a day and time. I'm not saying a microphone's going to be in everybody's face when somebody will interview and say what you do with this money. I mean, IRS might just call. I've been audited 3 times, and it was not a headache. It was easy because I had the professional people in place because I also trying to live by budget because people depend on you to have a certain amount of money to help them too. So you guys have to look at that budget every month and see what you're spending and subtracting away and saying, how can I leverage my income, my net, and what I'm saving and what I'm spending, what's coming in and what's coming out.
Yeah, I mean, monthly I get a profit and loss statement from my account every month. And it's basically the same thing you do with your home. Okay, you really need to create that budget because at the end of the month, it's going to tell you if you're operating at a deficit.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're spending more money than you have coming in. And a lot of times a budget, you'll know that before you do the budget. But what the budget tells you is that where the fat is.
Yeah.
Where am I spending money? Cut the fat, man. Yeah,
I've heard that several times. Cut the fat and make sure you living on a lean.
You got to live lean.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing wrong with eating out, okay? But you need to know how much it is costing you. There's nothing wrong with entertainment, but you need to know what the cost is. Buying, you know, various electronic gadgets, things of that nature. It's okay to buy those things, but you need to know if they can fit in your budget.
Yep.
At the end of the week, there should be a certain amount of discretionary income. Discretionary income means that I have this excess money because my bills are paid, I've saved my money, I've done my tithing, and now I have an extra $40.
Yes.
That's at my discretion to spend.
To do
what you want. That's good. It's like mad money.
If I'm sitting up here right now with a little battery pack power thing that I spent $25 on, and I thought I left today, I was like, my battery's low because I had to talk on my phone all day. And I was like, well, did I need this? And I was like, it's a business investment because I might need a phone call or something.
Mm-hmm.
I need to reach to. I can't be on negative power.
Yeah, and you can't always be, you know, at a point where you got to wait for your phone to charge.
Yeah.
Right? You can't be in the car. If you're not in the car, if you're in the building somewhere, yeah, you need that, Chauncey.
But when you're out and about, let's ask it. So I thought about it. That was a business expense for me, so I got that receipt in the car right now. So just thinking about that, just saying, like, do I spend $25? What? How is this going to benefit me in the long run? So that's how you make decisions and everything. I was just crazy thing, just thinking about it, just like when you talk about designer brands and clothes that you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I wake up real early in the morning, so I'm listening to this pastor preach this morning, and he's talking about first gifting and tithing and saying that when he's talking about Jesus. I mean, you know, we both believers and everything.
Yeah.
We believe in kingdom living. And when we talk about money, and it says, trust me with the least, the scripture.
Oh, really? Okay.
And the least meaning money. Yeah. Trust me with the least. What do you know, but see, people value money so much, you'll get up and wake up for that job on time. You'll do this on time. You'll do all these things on time for the little that you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
But can you trust me with your lease? He broke down several situations. He said when it came to paying his bills, he went into the fish mouth to pay the money, you know, for the taxes.
Okay.
But then I thought about what he wore. You think about other people, biblical characters in the Bible. You talk about Joseph getting the coat, you know, from his father, you know, many colors. Then you got Samuel, mother giving him a coat when she gave him up for adoption to Elijah, right?
Right.
Yep. And that was his garment to say she gave him a coat every every season to wear. Mm-hmm. Then you think about Jesus, like everybody, the lady wanted to touch a hem of his garment. What was so special about his garment? And then they cast lots for his clothes, but he posted been a bum. But why you casting lots for my garments and they not designer?
Right.
And then he came in on a donkey, but it wasn't a used donkey. Nobody else rode it. So I'm like, that was brand new.
Right.
So I'm like, if I shift my mind towards giving and, like you said, tithing and sowing seeds first, then my finances will be ordered because I'm trusting God with the least, and he'll provide for me.
He'll provide for you.
And he'll make sure my life is sufficient. So that's the first part of budgeting one-on-one right there. So then you'll start having that discernment and sanctifying mm-hmm. and being said, I'm set apart. I don't need all this extra stuff.
Yep.
I'm about a quality where if it ain't no name on it, you got to probably check inside
right.
the label and say, hey, but then it's not trendy. Mm-hmm. You can wear certain things that's affordable, but it's going to last you.
Yeah.
So it's like when you look at that. So don't get caught up in that audience. That hits you in your budget when you don't get caught up in the trendy, being trendy. So I just use that application for you scripture-wise because he came in on a new donkey. He paid his taxes, but he paid out of fish mouth and the clothes he wore. It must have had to be nice because they took him off of him. They shot dice for him. Okay. And somebody wanted to touch him when they were sick. So, I mean, he must was dressing nice then.
Okay.
If I could touch the hem of your garment right now, the sweater you got on.
Right.
And it healed me. It had to be some quality fabric.
Yeah, to be healed.
Yes.
Okay, to touch the garment yep. and be healed.
So, trust me with your lease. I don't know how I got on that tangent, but just.
That's good, man.
Just letting people know stuff. That spiritually. Just stay spiritually connected when it comes to your finances. And don't be ashamed that you're doing the right thing because. That depression sink in when you think, like, oh, I'm not buying this or I'm not wearing this or I'm not going to my favorite restaurant all the time. Or make sure you just pay attention that you're on the right path financially.
Yeah. And, again, it's back to the thing about being serious, Chauncey. If you're serious about getting your finances in order, then these are the steps you must take in order to determine, you know, where you're at. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're just going to continue to make the same mistakes and be financially strapped for the rest of your life.
It's called insanity, Tony.
I think that's what
it's called. Not called debt. It's called insanity.
Insanity.
You keep on doing the same thing over and over again, and you expect different results. If you don't create a budget, it's like you just like, I'm just going to throw money at the wind. When you throw money at the wind, what happens?
It's going to get blown away.
It's going to get blown away.
You're going to be broke.
You're going to be broke. You're going to be looking like, and then – I just always look at like what I've invested, what I've saved, but then also I always go back to that kingdom. What have I trusted God with?
Right.
Now I'm just serious. What have I trusted God with? Because like it talks about the moth, you know what you put in the storehouses can be eaten up. So what are you giving him your first fruit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just original. Are you doing it?
Yeah.
Because I would like multiply the other. He'll multiply the other if you trust the first fruit, and then you live within this budget and you having this discernment for the finances. On where you're going to put this money after you put the first portion away.
Man, those are solid biblical principles of finance, okay? It's about an individual understanding his own, you know, beliefs, and also they should translate into how they manage their finances. The old saying, a fool and his money will soon part. It's not a biblical phrase, but it could be. But it's true. It is very true. It's like, I watched 30-30 the other night, Daryl Strawberry, Doc Gooden. Two of the most talented
baseball players ever.
Baseball players.
Ever.
Ever. Had money, but did not have biblical principles of finance. They had people that they could have used that was around them, but they chose to spend their money foolishly and do the foolish things in a worldly way, and it cost them everything.
Everything.
Because they were blessed, all right? Guys with that kind of talent are special.
Yes.
And they were truly blessed with a talent that nobody else had.
But they use that same talent in their finance. It's like when you think about talented people like that, they're risk takers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to swing at that.
Okay. That's it.
That's a baseball you're swinging at.
Swinging at it.
Now you're taking $1 million. You're going to swing at this on the crap table. I can try it. I can do it. You find a lot of people like that when they're big risk takers and they make money in sports. They find themselves bankrupt because they do gambling deals or they make
foolish. They make foolish decisions.
Yeah, because they trust in their athletic ability in a different realm.
Yeah. But you know what? I read today about this guy that made $40,000 a year for the most majority of his life, but retired
a millionaire.
Wealthy.
Is that the parking agent? He was a flight, a parking, like a attendant, major in the stock market.
I did read that one too, but I think this guy was like a janitor, Chauncey.
Okay.
$40,000, man. And retired with a millionaire.
That's it. It's a couple like that too. I'm trying to be that next couple like that.
The moral to the story is, it's not how much money you make.
No, it's not.
It's how much you're able to save and invest and accumulate. Okay? Because anybody can spend money. We've seen it. We can read about it all the time. You know, unfortunately, you know, it's the people that we see in sports and in television are the ones that we hear about the most. But there's a huge percentage of the average Americans that do squander most of the money that they've earned over their lifetime as well.
Yeah.
But again, it's back to wanting to do better financially. And when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired about being broke or having to live from paycheck to paycheck and nothing to look forward to, then you'll start making the kind of decisions you need to make in order to change your life.
That's right.
Just like you talked about a couple weeks ago about your credit score.
Yeah.
Okay. 100 points increase in your credit score can change your life.
Change everything. Zip code, all that.
Okay.
And just doing your due diligence and staying on top of it. If you want that change.
If you want to change.
It's a lengthy process. Like I get some of the craziest text messages and I get some of the motivating, inspiring ones too. Like I get one that somebody want me to wave a magic wand, and then I get one where somebody waited the process out,
mm-hmm.
and they get blessings. You know,
Commitment.
I don't know if I'm
made the commitment.
I'm not appointed, but I just feel like it's an anointing where if you listen, good things happen for you, and you wait through the process, and you just develop into what you're supposed to be when it comes to that. Because money is a relationship.
Okay.
Fall in love with doing the right thing with your dollars.
That's it.
Fall in love with
it. Be jealous about your money.
Yeah, be jealous about the money and put God first in it and seek principles and videos and books that can help you govern it in the right way.
Yeah. You know, and a couple weeks ago we talked about, you know, the relationship with your children.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you talking about them? How you respond to money?
Yeah.
Emotionally. What's your emotional IQ dealing with the finances?
And as a parent, it is your actual obligation and duty to make sure that they don't make the same mistakes you made, and that's by helping them understand what they need to do to be different than what you did. Don't let them make the same mistakes. Okay, sit down and talk to them about finances, you know, about schoolwork, you know, a number of things that parents need to do that's not being done. Okay, and trust me, when you see your kids go out into the world and become productive citizens, individuals, because you gave them the solid foundation of understanding of how to treat people, how you work hard, how you take care of your money, how you help others, and how you serve God, you will be proud to say, that's my son, that's my daughter, because they are a reflection of you and what you've done in your life. But it's just not going to happen.
You're right. Just like people out there that's in relationships, just being able to sit down with your significant other and do things. You know, just like even to the point of like car repairs or just sitting down. Like my wife is good with just showing me like, look, it's an alternative to that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got to go to the dealership to get everything fixed.
Oh, my goodness, no.
You don't have to do that. She's like, no, I got this. I'm like, I know how to fix a car. She's like, no, you don't know how to. I know people. That's what she tells me. Like, okay. I know people. I know certified people that can do jobs, that can save us some money. I'm like, she's like, give me the money. She's like, how much they charge? I was like, well, that's going to be $400. She said, give it to me. The car be fixed. I'm like, like, I know people. I got good friends, you know?
Okay.
That's licensed. So, like, she shows me, like, I said, I'm keeping the rest. I say, oh, I have a budgeted for this. She's like,
Was going to spend it anyway.
That's right. So, she's like, we're going to do this with that. So, like, your helpmate being able to help you save is also a good thing. And just not wanting those high-end ticket items and just being able to help you, you know, washing good. You know, being a good washer of clothes can help.
Ironing, you know.
Ironing, not dry cleaning all the time.
Don't take all my stuff to the dry cleaner,
nope.
Chauncey.
Nope, you don't. You don't have to. You don't need a thousand things either. You don't need 50 pair of pants and 50 shirts.
Can't wear them one at a time.
Yep. So it's just it's a lot of stuff that we have to think critically about and just saying, you know, are you ahead of inflation? Is your income being raised every year? Is you getting that raise? What you going to do with that raise? You going to get a brand new car with that raise? Or you going to say, hold up, I paid this car off. Now I got, if the payment was $400, now you got an excess of $400. Don't say you got an excess of $400. Say, look, I got an excess of $100 because I done put $300 towards saving that.
That's right. Putting together an emergency fund in case something unexpectedly happens and I don't have to go borrow some money or go to the dollar store. What is it? The cash money store.
I hate that place.
You know?
Yeah. Nightmares.
Again, that's all a part of getting to the point where you can become financially sound and ready to take that next step. Because once you get enough money saved up, now you can talk about investing that money and watching your money grow besides being a consumer. Okay.
When you come out the hole, you want to be on the hill.
Right.
You don't want to be on sea level.
No.
Like, I'm at zero. Mm-mm. You'll be back in the hole again. You want to come out the hole and be on a hill financially.
Yeah.
And I just look at that all the time. And just, I have a lot of conversations with myself.
Okay.
You know?
Well, you know what I say? When I want to have a really intelligent conversation, talk to myself.
Yeah, I have a lot of conversations. Not out loud, though. Not out loud, but I have a lot of financial conversations with myself.
Yeah, supposed to.
I'm thinking critically and reflecting on what I'm doing daily. I just want to get myself to a place that I can look back and say, I want to be like Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Chauncey wrote a check for $21 million for a community center in Muskegon?
Yeah.
Why that can't be me?
Didn't bat an eye.
So, like, just imagine that you can raise your level of your community. But it start with trusting them with the least. Like, this is saying, like, I'm a sow a seed, water the seed, come back to the seed, and say, I done sowed that seed and I done did it right here. Now, this is right in my life financially here. Now you can give and not be too concerned about, you don't even have to brag about it.
Right.
Be like, look, I did that because I know I've been in a place in my life, God put me somewhere, and I got this budget established, and I can do this excess here.
Okay.
So it's just.
We're going to have to come up with a contest to reward some of our listeners.
Yeah, because PA them got that, what's that, they didn't did the Who Got Talent?
Yeah.
Who Got Credit or something
Who Got Credit? Who has, from what we've been talking about, took heed and said, you know what, I'm going to stop doing what I've been doing and I'm going to change how I handle my money. And as a result of that, these are the things that I can talk about.
That's right.
And we need to be able to reward. I mean, they're rewarding themselves.
Give away a free service or something. That's what I was going to think. I might just have to just. And my consulting company been telling me that I got to do a program like that. Give away a service for free to somebody,
I'm
a customer
down
or something.
It.
And just like you said, some investment or like some credit repair service or lower somebody that's just struggling with their student loan payments. Just pay for the service for them.
Okay.
You know, just as you see, if they will sit in, go through the management with you, I work with them and clean it up and give them a book and some services for free.
For free.
Like at a $600 value, like here. Here goes $600 I done paid for you to do both programs, and you get a free book, and you see Tony, and he sit down with you. And at the excess money you making, he give you a budget plan.
Okay. And then in 6 months, we bring you onto the show, and we have some real-life testimony as to how this changed their lives.
Yeah, that sounds good. Because I got a lot of clients, but it's good to just say, bring somebody in at ground zero.
Right.
Where they just
a listener.
They either in a hole, or they just like, I don't know where to go. And we put them in the program, give them some literature, and then you counsel them for 6 months.
We will mentor them through the process, okay, and let them know you're not in this by yourself because you have shown that you want to do better, and that's what we do is we help you do better. And as a result of that, hopefully you will be an inspiration to others to do better financially.
I know what I can do. I'm going to do it too because we share like this. Like when this show runs, what you want to do, the 103.7, the beat, the 100, no, not 100, because then I might not be 100. Somebody that can, either they can inbox me or call me. Would you think an inbox?
Yeah, why don't you inbox?
Inbox quoting this show and saying that you want that help.
Okay.
And so you heard this show and give them a code word, Tony.
Give them a code word.
Budget 101, that was the name of the show today?
Yeah, Budget 101.
Say, all right, Chauncey, I want to participate in Budget 101. If you quote that Budget 101, and you listen, and when that when this show runs, when it airs, because we're delayed, when this show runs, and you inbox me on Facebook, either in my credit and debt help page or my own personal page with budgeting one-on-one, and you quote one of the statements we mentioned off this show, I will pay for you to personally either be in a credit restoration program or a student loan program, and I give you a free copy of my book, and we'll put you right on the Tony.
Okay.
So then we'll lower your student loan debt or your credit, and I give you a free copy of my book, and we'll help you next 6 months.
Next 6 months. And then you come back on, you come on our show and talk about the process so others can, again, understand what you went through and hopefully be an inspiration to them to take the step that they need to take to get
that's
better.
That's giving back right there.
That's giving back. And that's so what we want to do.
I would love to do that for somebody. Like, I know, because a lot of people feel like it's a tight squeeze on them financially. I would love to change your situation.
Well, I'm down.
Change
I'm with you.
Change the situation.
I'm helping pay for it. I'm good with it. Hot.
That was an old song.
What's that?
Change the situation. I can't sing like the 70s. Change the situation.
No,
the
you're right. You can't sing.
The block is hot. I can't. I just can't remember when it was. Old school. It was 60s
and 70s. I can't either.
I can't hit the note like I heard the song. But
I think they understand the meaning of what you're trying to tell them, though,
Chunky. Right.
That's right. Yeah, the message ain't in the music. It's in what the words you're saying, brother.
That's right. I just enjoy getting them text messages about what those people say. You know, I done got in a new car, Chunky. I done got promoted on my job. I've been able to relocate. And that inspires me, so I'm willing to do that for one person.
Okay.
So I can do that. I'll put those finances towards that. I don't even think I got to talk to my wife about that. Just be like,
I'm committed. Yeah, I'm committed
to
help.
Do this for somebody. And all one stipulation is you got to come on the show.
Yes.
Before we do it, when we do it, and then you got to be on the show 6 months later.
Right.
That's it. That's the only stipulation we have for you.
Just come in, introduce yourself, and talk about how you got on, 30 seconds.
Yep.
We're not going to ask you to do the show.
We're not going
to
tell you. Don't tell what your problem is. We're just going to invest in you. And then when you're done in 6 months, we're going to say how your climate changed.
Okay.
The climate is like weather, the conditions,
weather,
the temperature.
That's right.
Not the weather, the climate. Like your credit score, your financial number, how your climate has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.